on this day. How did I know you were going to have a special birthday on this day? On this day, on the 3rd of November, long time ago, in 1534, I remembered well, some people say, the English Parliament, now there's a word to use on a Sunday morning, the English Parliament passes the Act of Supremacy, meaning that King Henry VIII, they said king at that time, and all subsequent monarchs will become the head of the Church of England. And that's still the case today. And it is an act that impacts our world still. Something had happened on this day all those years ago. And so Queen Elizabeth is head of the Church of England today. Another story about what happened on this day another year. Not that long ago, actually. On this day, on the 3rd of November, 2014, the One World Trade Center, otherwise known as the Freedom Tower, was officially opened in Lower Manhattan in New York, where the Twin Towers had stood for 31 years until they were attacked on what we know as 9/11. One more example of what happened on this day. This isn't that exciting, really. But by sharp contrast to those two events, on this day, November the 3rd, 1957, a Russian dog named Laika became famous because she was popped into Sputnik 2 and went into space around and orbited the Earth. The truth is, she was a stray dog picked up off the streets. And the sad thing is, no one told her it was a one-way ticket. I thought that would get your heartstrings going. Some days turn out to be life-changing. I wonder if this is one for you. I wonder if yesterday was life-changing for the ladies who turned up here. And other days turn out to be just more useless information. Isn't that true? You just never know what a day will bring. Someone this day will do something or say something that will truly impact the whole world. And have it may take a bit of time for the news to spread around the world, but that one person will do or say something that will make such a difference. And I don't know what day it was. No one does. But one day, it might have been on this day, all those years ago, but the psalmist was inspired by the Holy Spirit to start to write and took a scroll and a scribe of some kind, and this is what he wrote. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. I wonder if this indeed was the day. 1 in 365 chance that it was the day. Some 2,800 years ago. It could be true. This could have been the day that it happened. But there have also been other days of tragedy and infamy, as Roosevelt once put it in one of his speeches, speaking about Pearl Harbor. But never, never has there been a day like this one, foretold in verse 42, a day when the builders would reject the capstone, sometimes referred to as the cornerstone. Because this verse is a direct reference to the day when Jesus would walk our earth and speak words of wisdom and incredible insight, and upon the cross, he would become the Savior of the world. Two things, if I may, this morning, before we gather around to celebrate communion this morning. First thing is, Jesus is central. Jesus is central. If you forget everything else, you know, just remember that he's central to everything that happens in the world, in your life, in Parliament, around the world. He's central to everything. I'm sure that some of you perhaps know this. You've probably read it or picked it up in a book somewhere. But Psalm 118. I'll not say 118, 118. It's a good way to remember, though. Psalm 118 occupies the central position of the New Testament. I often used to hear people say, open your Bible in the middle, you'll be in the Psalms. But if you open it in the very middle, you'll be in Psalm 118. And it is followed by the longest psalm in the Psalms, which is, you're glad I didn't ask you to read 119 this morning. It's 176 verses. And it is preceded by the shortest psalm in the Psalms, which is 2 verses. And there are exactly 594 chapters before Psalm 118 and exactly 594 chapters after it. And when you add them up, they make the grand total of 1,118. And if you move in a, put a colon there, you get Psalm 118 and verse 8. Now, it may be true, depend on the translation you're using, but it may be true that the central verse in all the scriptures could be Psalm 118, verse 8, and this is it here. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in mankind. That's hugely important. For anyone, anybody just walks off the street, you'd go up to someone in the street and just say, it's more important to trust in the Lord than to trust in mankind. That is central. And sometimes, there's a couple of really important ideas here. I just want to spend a moment or two with them. One is cornerstone, a word that is used here. It's the first stone of a substantial building that's put in place. And sometimes it's the biggest stone, and sometimes it's a ceremonial stone, and sometimes it's engraved. You go to some churches or big buildings, maybe like a council building, and the cornerstone is this huge big stone, and it's engraved, and it sets the direction of the building. But the NIV, I don't know if you noticed in the translation that Ziggy read, it used cornerstone, and others use, I think the most recent ones use capstone. Slightly different idea, really. It literally means the head of the corner. But it's not the head of that corner, but it's the head of that corner. The capstone. And so the capstone is not so much ceremonial as it is central. It's a central stone that holds everything together. But like what we read about Jesus in Colossians 1, in him all things are held together, they consist. And it is the V-shaped stone at the very center and top of an arch structure like this one here, for example. See the capstone there? That's the capstone, the capstone. So you take that away, and all of this will fall in. He's the capstone. Each stone in the arch is pushing its weight into the center, and that central V-shaped stone, the shape is no good for in a wall anywhere, but it's perfect for that bit at the top, that triangular shape. And it supports everything. Next time you're passing one of those colonnades, you know, or arch, have a look. It may well have one of those capstones at the very center, at the top. Its shape is different, obviously, but it's holding everything together from the top. And that is exactly what Jesus does in our lives. That's exactly what he does in our church, in our faith, and for our hopes. He holds everything together. Psalm 113 verse 5, you find this messianic stone imagery again in a subtle way like this. Who is like the Lord our God, the one who sits enthroned on high, who stoops down to look at the heavens and the earth? It is significant, is it not, that at the central chapter of the Bible, you have this reference to the capstone, which is a central stone at the top that holds everything together. A veiled reference to Jesus Christ, the cornerstone of New Testament faith and practice. So on this day, the 3rd of November, 2019, I just wanted to remind you of the position Jesus holds, and I hope that he holds in your life. We proclaim him as the central keystone above all others. Not only is he central, but secondly and finally, he is also king. He is king above all other kings. You've already been reminded of it this morning, so I guess I can do it again. But in a month's time, we will come to first Sunday of Advent, and we will be starting to celebrate Christmas, and we'll sing that hymn, that carol, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. That's the one we always sing on that first Sunday of Advent. And what was it that the angel announced to Mary in the story? We'll be reminded at Christmas time, but it was this, that the virgin will have a child. At that particular time, she was a virgin. She still was not pregnant, but she would soon be pregnant. She would still be a virgin. And the angel said of the child, and his kingdom will never end. He is a king of a kingdom. Psalm 118 has its own announcement, and this is it. O Lord, save us. O Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. This was written some 800 years before Jesus rode into Jerusalem as a king. Do you remember that? Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And he's son of David. He's a king. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. The Lord is God and has made his light shine upon us. Reminds us of the Levitical blessing, number 6, where it says, the Lord lift up the light of his face upon you and give you his peace. No one can look at the face of God and live, and yet in his grace he turns and he looks at each one of us in order to bless us, in order to give us peace in a world that is full of war and hatred. We're very fortunate. We've just come back from a very enjoyable vacation, holiday break in Menorca with family. We stayed in a villa. It wasn't a big villa. It was a small villa, but it was a nice villa. And it was advertised as a villa with a sea view. Have you been one of those? We once went to an apartment. It was advertised as an apartment with a sea view. And you went to the side window and you went like this. Oh, this had a sea view. It was just there in front of us. There was a building here. I thought it was going to get in the way. There was a building over here, another house here. But there was this bit in the middle. And you know where this, and we could see the sea. And you know where the sun set every night? Right in the middle. Right in the middle. And our highlight each evening was sitting down to dinner with this sun setting just there. And when it was setting, we stopped eating, we took a few photographs, then went back to the meal or whatever else we were doing later. And in a sense, it seemed like a crowning moment for the whole day. It was like a Psalm 118 for us, if you understand what I'm trying to say. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day. You can say that every day, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I think we took notice of that lovely, beautiful sunset for perhaps 2 or 3 minutes. And then we went back to doing it. We took a few photographs. And you know, life's like that. But I think in every single day that we live, there's got to be a moment, a God moment, a 118 moment, a this is the day moment, when you realize, wow, God's in charge of stuff. There's something beautiful here. God is in this day with me. You may need to go back to your trouble thinking or your problem you're going to have to deal with tomorrow. But for that moment, it's as if God says, I'm at the center of everything. I am the central capstone that is holding everything together. Sometimes we feel that as if we're about to fall apart, but we don't, because He holds us together. And hopefully there's a brief moment in most of your days and minds when we will be aware of His kingship. But on this day and every day, we proclaim Jesus' centrality in all of history and honor His kingship. Tell me this morning, is He your king? Is He the capstone of your life?